Order. Order. The House will come to order straight away. Order.
If I may, Mr. Speaker. Nō reira, tēnā koutou.
History in the making on Wednesday with the Greens' Eugenie Sage becoming the first new MP to include a bird call in a maiden speech. Hers was one of 17 maiden speeches this week, completing the complement for this Parliament so far. Another first saw the House sit on Thursday night under a new standing order that allows the Business Committee to extend the normal sitting hours without the government having to put the House under urgency. The first use of extended hours on Thursday saw MPs back in the chamber after the dinner break and sitting through till 10 p.m, making progress on 8 bills in 2.5 hours and avoiding the need to return on Friday morning. Using another provision enabling the Business Committee to allow bills with similar content to be taken through stages together, the House debated the Ngāi Tā Manahiri Claim Settlement Bill and the Ngā Tī Makino Claim Settlement Bill, completing their joint first reading in less than 2 hours on a voice vote and sending them to the Māori Affairs Committee for consideration. And the spirit of cross-chamber cooperation then extended to running the Statutes Amendment Bill No. 2 through its second reading. It was split into 20 separate bills, amending various acts, and they were given a third reading, taking the weekly tally to an impressive 22, with the addition of the Road User Charges Bill on Tuesday and the National Animal Identification and Tracing Bill on Wednesday. All that plus 9 more hours of the address and reply debate, leaving just under 1.5 hours remaining when Parliament resumes after a week's adjournment on Tuesday, February the 28th. Starting the next 2 week sitting period with the first confidence vote that the new government will face in this House, coming at the end of the address and reply debate, with a division on the amendment moved at the very start by opposition leader David Shearer. And Mr. Shearer was joined this week by other opposition party leaders in testing the Prime Minister's confidence in some of his ministers. That followed the news on Wednesday that the High Court had set aside the government's decision to sell the Crayfar farms to Chinese buyers. And the news came just in time for Mr. Shearer to lodge a question to the Prime Minister, John Key, asking if he still had confidence in the ministers responsible, Maurice Williamson and Jonathan Coleman.
How can the Prime Minister have confidence in the Minister of Land Information and the Associate Minister of Finance, given that the decision to sell Crayfar farms to Shanghai Pingjing was just being set aside in the High Court?
The Right Honourable Prime Minister.
Mr. Speaker, it's important to understand the role of ministers, which is to follow the law and the interpretation of the law. All I can say at this point is that the interpretation given to the Overseas Investment Office by their own internal counsel of the way that they would interpret the law is clearly different to the way the judge sees things.
The Leader of the Opposition.
Although Mr. Shearer had more questions for the Prime Minister, so did New Zealand First Leader Winston Peters.
How can he say that these two ministers interpreted the law correctly when a court of law with a legal background says they have not? And that's the reason why it's been set aside, or does he know more than the judge at court as well?
The Right Honourable Prime Minister.
Mr. Speaker, well, it's important to understand the process here, which is for, actually, since 2005, with ministers from Labor, they have relied on the Overseas Investment Office's interpretation of the law and the way it's been prescribed. Now, it's not unusual for judges to have a different view from internal counsel in this particular case. They've done that.
There were also questions from Mr. Key from Greens co-leader Russell Norman.
Does the Prime Minister now accept that his and his government's assertions that there was no other decision possible now no longer stands up to scrutiny, and it may be entirely possible that another decision was possible?
The Right Honourable Prime Minister.
Mr. Speaker, no, because if one looks at the advice from the Overseas Investment Office, they make it quite clear that ministers need to follow the law and interpret whether Section 16 or 18 of the Act have been followed. If they have been followed, ministers would have to put up a reason why they believe, if they're having a counterview, those conditions weren't met. Ministers had no reason to believe those conditions hadn't been met.
The opposition's request for an urgent debate on the issue was rejected by the Speaker, who said the government was not responsible for the court's decision.
The application is specifically to debate the decision of the High Court, and no minister is responsible for the decision of the High Court.
A request for leave to have the debate in any case was blocked by the government, but that didn't prevent the opposition from talking about the decision in the address and reply debate on Wednesday. Among Labour MPs who took advantage of that opportunity was their former leader, Phil Gough.
Thank God, Mr. Speaker, that we've got a High Court judge with the guts under law to stand up and act in New Zealand's interests when weak and incompetent National Party ministers had failed to do so, Mr. Speaker.
Parliament's adjourned for a week, back on Tuesday, February the 28th. I'm Tom Frewen, and this program is brought to you with funding from the Office of the Clerk.